Thank you, family. Wasn't that a great? Well, I tell you, I've enjoyed the music this morning. What a blessing it is to get to assemble here and worship the Lord. I am Robert Setzer, and I enjoy getting to be here in this church, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and share the word with you for the next month or so. And, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, I believe this is true for this church. I believe it is true for you individually. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. Man, let's act upon that. Let's live upon that right there. Now, we're going to be looking today in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. And, man, we're getting close to Easter, aren't we? And I'm excited about that. And I'm not talking about rabbits and eggs either. I'm talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord willing, unless the Lord changes my mind, next week, today we're going to be talking some about the triumphal entry of Christ, all right? Next week, we're going to be talking about the crucifixion of Christ, the cross. I'm not talking about just the historical aspects of the march down the Via Della Rosa, what was entailed in the cross of Christ. And then you know what comes the following Sunday, unless we're with Jesus in heaven. We're going to be talking about the resurrection and what the importance of the resurrection in relation to Christ, but also in relation to you and to I. So this morning, let's get started. We're going to talk about when Jesus passes by. Can I tell you today, he's still passing by. He is still passing by. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Let me say this about Jericho. Wow, what a city. Now, we all know about Jericho. It had been destroyed. That was the first city that Joshua and the children of Israel conquered when they went in. And God did something miraculous. And the walls literally fell down. And, of course, Joshua said, cursed is the man that builds this city back. And that did happen. He lost two of his children in the rebuilding. But in the days of Jesus, man, this was Las Vegas, let me tell you. It was basically built around an oasis. Matter of fact, plenty of water. We know why, don't we? Because this is near where Elisha healed the spring. Remember that? They said, they came to him and said, you know, sir, this is a great place to live, but the waters are bad. And he said, you know, cast this in there. And, of course, the waters were healed. It was basically an oasis, palm trees. They had a racetrack there. Herod had built a chariot racetrack. So any of you that love NASCAR, you would have liked it, you know. Or NAS chariot, whatever. But anyway, Herod had a winter palace there. Man, this guy had went in, they built aqueducts, he had his winter palace right there. This was a place where the wealthy and the well-to-do would live at, right here in this city of Jericho. And there was a guy living there, and his name was Zacchaeus. Now, we couldn't say he was a good old Jew. His name meant righteous one. At least his parents had high ambitions for him. But he was, as far as the Jews were concerned, he was probably the bottom rung on the ladder because he was a Roman collaborator. That means he was a Jewish man in the employ of the Roman government. His job was collecting taxes from his fellow Jewish citizens. And not only was he a tax collector, but he was over other tax collectors. And not only was he over other tax collectors, this was a wealthy area. A serious trade route came through here. There's a lot of taxes to be gathered. Can I say this? The old boy had some money. But just because you have money doesn't mean you're satisfied. I don't think he was satisfied. Well, let's pick back up in the story here in verse number 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or for the crowd because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, we know who the they are. That's all the religious do-gooders, the Pharisees, all of that. They murmured, saying, he's gone to be the guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's set it up. The trade route was going through Jericho. Here comes Jesus. Now, we mentioned a few weeks ago Jesus' style. Jesus is a peripatetic teacher. That means he teaches while he walks. He's not in a hurry. His disciples, I don't mean just the 12. I don't know how big this group was now. But this group is following. They're not as big as they were, because if you go to John 6, we find out that some of them fell away because of the serious doctrine of Christ. But he's going up the route now on the road towards Jericho, and he encounters a man. Now, there's a whole crowd. There's a whole group traveling along, and word gets to this poor guy. There's a guy named Bartimaeus, and he's blind, and he sits along the road, and he simply begs. Can you imagine that? That's your job every single day. You can't see, so you can't work, so you're simply begging, asking. You're there at the mercies of other people. And he says, "What is that commotion?" And they say, "That's Jesus." And he begins to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" And he says, "My eyes, Lord." And Jesus heals him. Now, if you've never seen, and all of a sudden the rays of the morning break forth upon your eyes, and you look and you see the multifaceted colors, the blues, the greens, the grasses, and I mean, you are overwhelmed. Do you think you're going to say, "Wow, this is really awesome"? No, man, this guy's doing everything but cartwheels and flips. He is so pumped up. He is so excited. The crowd's already excited. They see Jesus do these miracles, and they're hearing the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus is going right on, and they're going in the city. Now, they didn't have Twitter, and they didn't have internets, and they didn't have all this kind of stuff and television, thank goodness. And so now word is traveling by mouth. And, I mean, the air is electric. And so word is coming to Zacchaeus that, man, this man Jesus is coming. This man Jesus is coming. Now, the Bible makes it plain here that apparently Zacchaeus gets caught up in the crowd. But he can't help it. He's short, all right? And he can't see, and he wants to see Jesus. He wants to get a look at him. And so he runs ahead, which is a common thing for these sycamore trees to be planted along the road. He runs ahead, grabs a limb like a monkey. Up in the limb he is. He's not trying to cause any commotion. He just simply wants to see what's going on. He wants to see Jesus. And it makes it plain in the text right here in verse 4 that he wanted to see him. Do you see that? Zacchaeus wanted to see him. And that's good. He wanted to see Jesus. But when I read down just a little bit later on, I see that there was someone who saw him. In verse number 5, it says, "Jesus came and looked up and saw him." You see, we don't find here in this text where Zacchaeus is up there swinging on the limb and say, "Jesus, Jesus, look at me. I mean, do something for me." No, he could see. He could hear. He had hands. He had a sharp mind. He was no doubt an accountant. And he had plenty of money. But there was something he did not have plenty of. He didn't have Jesus, you see. And Jesus knew that. Jesus, it's an amazing thing about Jesus. These people think they can murmur and complain, and if they're quiet about it, the Lord never knows. He knows everything. He knows what's in your heart this morning. He knows what's in my heart today. He knows if there's discouragement there. He knows if there's anger there. He knows if there is longing there. He knows if there is need. Can I tell you something? We are some of the best actors and actresses in the world. Did you know that? They call some of them superstars. We got some superstars in a lot of our churches. Here's what I mean. We can really put a good show on. We really act the part. We come in, man, it's high five, it's shaking. How you doing? Man, is it God good? And you're miserable inside. And I mean, you're just dying inside. Your heart is breaking inside. Yeah, but we put it on good. And Jesus could see Zacchaeus. He knew exactly where he's at. And it says Jesus saw him. He looked up, and they didn't get into a big conversation. He simply said, Zacchaeus, get out of the tree. Hurry and get down. I've got to go to your house today. But he came down. Now, from a natural standpoint, Jesus had a 17-mile trip from there to Jerusalem. And that's uphill. That's an incline of some over 3,000 feet in a desert, arid area. And so he needed somewhere to stay that night. He needed a place to stay, and Zacchaeus needed a Savior. And boy, what a good combination. And they got together, and he went. Did I mention when Jesus passes by? Oh, he's still passing by today. He may be passing by your way today. And what is so important? Well, I'll have to wait till the end of the sermon to tell you what's really important when Jesus passes by, when he passes by. See, he may not be passing by nobody else in this church today, but he might be passing by you. He passed by Zacchaeus. He said, let's go to the house. We need to talk. And boy, they got to the house, and they did some talking. I believe Jesus did some talking, and then I think Zacchaeus did some talking. Do you remember that it was prior to this, a rich young ruler ran to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus, playing along with him, said, well, what are the commandments? And he began to list off two or three or four commandments, and the ruler said, I've kept all of these from my youth. Yet, what do I still lack? And Jesus said, well, go sell what you've got, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the guy walked away. You see, he was an idolater, and his money was his idol, and he wasn't willing to give it up to come to Jesus. So with that in the backdrop, now Jesus comes to another guy who's rich, and he simply stands and says to Jesus, Lord, the half of my goods I just give them to the poor. I want you. That's what he was saying. And he said, if I have defrauded, if I have wronged anybody, he said, I will make it right. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Now, man, Jesus really stuck his neck out. But that's what Jesus did, you see. And when I said that, I meant with the religious people, with the religious rulers. I dare say there was a group also traveling around with them, some Pharisees. They had to check the list off. They had to make sure everything was going just right. And they did not approve when Jesus, they would have considered him the rabbi, when the rabbi went home with a sinner. He went into the house of a sinner. There are several things that the Pharisees didn't approve of, and this was just added to their list. Because the man was a collaborator with their enemy, the Romans. And so they would have thought him to be one of the chiefest of the sinners. And that's exactly the crowd that Jesus is trying to reach. That's why he says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. So it's Jesus that's doing the seeking. It's Jesus that's doing the looking for us. You know, I've told this before. I remember years ago, I was in Bible college, and you know how little fads would go through? There's a little fad going through. And people would put these little stickers on the back of their bumpers that says, I found it. I found it. Let me tell you something. If you've been found today, he found you. You really were. You thought you were looking for him, but he was looking for you. You said, no, preacher, you don't understand. I was under conviction. That's him. He was looking for you. Yeah, and he was plucking the strings of your heart, and they were playing in a minor key. They were saying, boy, I'm in trouble. Man, I am lost. What's going to happen if I die? I've messed my life up. And Jesus was saying, I'm here, and I can fix it, and I can heal you, and I can forgive you, and I can save you. You know, I think some of us, I think some of us have been saved for so long and forgiven for so long, we forgot what it felt like that first hour after we got saved to be clean inside and to be forgiven. When Jesus came looking for you. Remember what I said when Jesus passed by? He passed by. He passed by him. And now he's on the way. So I think it's fair to say, old Zacchaeus got in. I think he got in. And he's a Jesus follower now. But notice something else. And of course, Jesus now is going to leave. And I mentioned he's got 15 to 17 miles to go to Jerusalem. And actually, he's heading somewhere first. He's going to be heading to a little town called Bethany. You ought to look that up sometime on your apps or on your Bible maps and just see. So he's going to be making the trek from Jericho up about 3,000 feet. He's going up to the city of Jerusalem. He'll come to Bethany first. Maybe a little less than a mile beyond Bethany is a place called Bethphage. It's only mentioned one or two times in the Bible in relation to the triumphal entry. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But he's got to get to Bethany first. He's got some friends there. We're going to have a reunion. They're going to have a time. You know why? Because there's two sisters and a brother that lives in a house together. Their names is Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And their brother Lazarus had been sick some time back and had died. And Jesus had raised him from the dead. Now that's another thing, boy. The air. You see, this is, we're right on Passover time right now in Jerusalem. And boy, there's so much going on, so much happening. But he's going to go there and he's going to spend the Sabbath. Now remember, Sabbath for the Jews starts at sundown on Friday, goes to sundown on Saturday. So he'll spend Sabbath there in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And we believe that it's during this time. You know, if you got gratitude in your heart, you can't help it. And there was one of them sisters. She was full and it was running over. And she had a flask of ointment that was worth about a year's wages. And I guess they was gathered around and eating water. And you know how they do that. They don't do it like we do, sitting in chairs. They recline, but they chill out when they're going to eat. They're not in a hurry, you know. And the Oriental style of eating is all completely different from ours. You know, if you're in Japan, you might use chopsticks. If you're in America, you're going to use a fork. And if you're over there, you may be just using your fingers, okay? And so they're around there, and they've maybe eaten, and Mary comes up and takes that oil, and once you open it, it's like, man, the whole house is just, man, this aromatic, beautiful fragrance, and she pours it on his feet. And then she takes her hair, and I can imagine her hair would have been long, and she's on her knees, and she takes her hair and wipes his feet. And I can imagine she's just bawling as she's doing that right there because she is so full of gratitude. She doesn't know him as the rabbi. She knows him as the Lord. And man, you talk about a worship experience. And it's right here. It's right here where old Judas Iscariot gets so ticked off because he begins to complain. What are you doing? What are you doing? You could have given that to us, and we could have sold it, and we could have given the money to the poor. You scoundrel, you're not wanting to give to the poor. The Bible makes it very plain. Judas Iscariot was the treasurer, and the Bible said he was a thief. He is a thief. And so he begins to complain, and it kind of spreads to some of the other disciples. Because they're thinking more of the Jesus evangelistic team, and we're going to have to buy this and buy that, and you know. And buddy, Jesus shuts it down right there. What are you criticizing this woman for? She will be mentioned, and what she has done will be mentioned basically every time this gospel is mentioned. He rebuked Judas. You check it out in your Bible. Go read it. From this point on, Judas, something happens to him. And he's going to step back. And in just a matter of days, Judas will go to the priest and say, what will you give me if I can betray him to you? Wow. So basically now we're let's say, I don't know, let's just say Friday, Saturday. On Wednesday coming up, Judas is going to go and sell out Jesus. All right, this is what's taking place. So right in the midst of one of the most glorious worship services, you have this going on. Does that give you some insight? Does that help you to understand? that, man, God can be blessing immensely, and some people being saved, some people praising God, some people getting deliverance, some people getting help, some people getting healing, and right in the middle of that can be a scoundrel trying to cause a commotion. Man, we got to see the whole picture of God's scriptures, don't we? And so here they go. Now, the Sabbath is past. Now we're coming up on Sunday. Now remember, we worship the Lord on Sunday. They, the Jews, on the Sabbath. Well, we'd call it Saturday, all right? And so now we're going to find out. Look at verse number 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Okay, it's a hike up. Came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany. He's almost there. He's near the Mount of Olives now. All right. He sends two disciples, go into the village. I'm going to just kind of speed up and do some paraphrasing. Go into the village. You're going to find there a colt tied. Get it. And they ask you, and they're going to say, what are you doing with getting our colt? Just say that the Lord has need of it. They'll know. And so they get the colt. And then it says in verse number 38, they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, okay, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now, I don't know how big a crowd this was. There's actually two crowds. So we got a crowd coming down the Mount of Olives, okay, to the Kidron Valley, because they're going to cross a branch there, and they're going to make their way up to the city of Jerusalem. So they're at the bottom of the hill. They've got the colt now and the donkey, okay. They put some clothes on it. They put Jesus on it. Now, there's a group traveling down with Jesus. We don't know how many. I can surmise that it's going to be his disciples, some other disciples, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, okay? The women that ministered unto him. Boy, that's another whole sermon in itself right there. So there's a pretty good group coming down the mountain, but there's also a group in the city already. They've gathered for the Passover. Now, this city is really, it's going to be big now because of all the people who have come in, not just the Jewish residents, but the diaspora. You know what that is? That's the people years ago who had been carried into Assyria and carried into Babylon, and they didn't all come back to Israel. That didn't mean they left the Lord, but they just didn't all come back when Nehemiah and Ezra came back. But now a lot of them are coming in for the Passover, all right? And so they're in the city. Here's a group coming this way. Here's a group coming this way. This group coming this way. Man, they're excited. They're saying, Hosanna to the Lord. Let's look at it in the scriptures. What are they saying? They're saying, Hosanna to the Lord. They say, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. I mean, they are excited about what Jesus is doing. When they're saying, Hosanna to the Lord, you're looking at Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. They are fulfilling prophecy. Probably also we see right there Genesis 49:10, a fulfillment of prophecy. And Jesus, you say, well, what? I don't understand the big deal about the triumphal entry. Why is it so significant? Daniel, several hundred years earlier, had made a prophecy. And it said here in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 25 and 26, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Whose commandment was that? King Artaxerxes, the Persian king. The command is issued, restore and build Jerusalem back unto Messiah the prince, that's Jesus, shall be 7 weeks or 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. It's going to all total out to 483 years, okay? So from the going, after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, all right? There's only going to be 1 week left. That's for another discussion in the tribulation period. And so what we're saying is, when that prophecy was given, when the time clock started, restore, the commandment was given, restore and build Jerusalem, almost to the day, 483 years, Jesus goes in to Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. They should have known this is the Messiah. This is the one that Moses prophesied about. This is the one that Daniel prophesied about. This is the one that Isaiah prophesied about. This is David's greater son that was prophesied about. And you see, the time clock, they should have known exactly. This is the significance of the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. He was announcing and saying, I am the one. What do we say? When Jesus passed by, Jesus was passing by. But look, as we get ready to close, in verse 41 of chapter 19, when he was come near, he beheld the city. He's on the donkey. The disciples all around. He's coming and he's looking at the city of Jerusalem. And he just breaks out. And begins to bawl. This is Jesus. And he begins to weep. You say, well, why? Shouldn't this be a glad day of celebration? And Jesus is weeping over the city and saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Look at verse 44. Shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children, and they shall not live in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You didn't know the day when Jesus passed by for you. He said, I've come to give you peace, Jerusalem, but you rejected it. I came to give you forgiveness, but you didn't want it. I came to give you hope and light and a future, but you turned me away. You didn't know the day of your visitation when Jesus passed by. That makes all the difference in the world. When Jesus passes your way, if you make the right decision, it will be a life-altering decision that'll change your future and change your life. And if you make the wrong decision, it will change your future and change your life. Judas Iscariot made the wrong decision when Jesus passed by, and it changed everything. But so many more made the right decision when Jesus passed by. Now, I'm going to ask you today, he may be passing by somebody right now. He may be. He may be passing by you right now, and he's calling to you. In your heart, he's calling. He said, come to me. Come to me. I've got a plan for you. I've got a future for you. I've got a forgiveness for you. I've got a hope for you. And what are you going to do? You're going to either be like a Judas or you're going to be like a Zacchaeus. Which one's it going to be? I want us to bow our heads today for a prayer. We're going to pray. Matt's coming to the piano. I just want to ask you, take a moment. I'm just going to ask one question. I'd love to pray for you. Is Jesus passing by you right now? And is he speaking to you? Is he speaking to you? If he is, you need to speak back to him. If he's calling you, you need to come to him. If he's talking to you, you need to talk back to him. Maybe you're saved, but maybe your life has got off the rails. And he's saying, come on back. This is the way back. This is the way back. Anybody with a hand raised, say, pray for me. I think Jesus is passing by me today, and I don't want to miss him. Anybody, as we get ready to pray. Oh, blessed Jesus, I'm so glad that you passed by our way. God, I'm so glad that you've got forgiveness and cleansing and healing and love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Coleman.